persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Keith Lamont Scott, the latest in what is becoming a troubling trend. Many questions are wanting answers, and it's a developing story, so one version after another is going to crop up. And if recent history is any indicator of future expectations, the Black Lives Matter crowd will continue believing Keith was peacefully reading a book approached by police as a possible suspect that they were looking for to serve an arrest warrant. It wasn't him, but anyway, when Keith got out of the car, he was holding a book, and then he was shot in cold blood by an officer of the law simply because he was a black man. Now, that's the internet or social media version of events, even though the officer who shot Keith was also a black man. And then the law-abiding, law-respecting crowd, well, they'll be inclined to go on believing the police report that Keith was holding a gun, refused to drop the gun, and in the mind of the officer who shot Keith, he posed an imminent and dangerous threat. Now, for one of these two crowds, the video will not matter. Facts will not matter. The picture of the arrest with a gun lying there in the street, you know, the video showing that, in fact, Keith did have a gun in his hand, all of these things are irrelevant. For example, the family of Keith, they saw the video, and apparently there was a gun there because they quit with the story that there was no gun, but now they're saying he was walking backward when he was shot. So, you know, I guess if he has a gun in his hand and he's walking backward, well, then, you know, he can't raise his hand to shoot. He can't possibly be thought of as a threat. You know, folks, we've been brainwashed by TV cop shows where the gun-wielding officer waits until the very last second, shoots the perp right in the middle of the forehead, and it's all very nice. And in reality, do you really think it goes like that? Really? An officer approaches a guy holding a gun, commanding him to drop the weapon repeatedly, drop the weapon or drop the gun, and the suspect refuses to obey. You don't understand that if that guy so much as twitches, he's going to get shot? You know what? Think about this. I'm glad the police officer isn't the one who got shot in this case. All right? I'm glad that he got to go home. And Keith, holding a gun, being told by a police officer to drop it, refusing to drop it. Well, come on. The real problem here is that truth doesn't matter. Truth, you see, is malleable. It's moldable. It has the character of the chameleon. It disappears into whatever background you put behind it. You see, this is the problem. Relative truth makes truth irrelevant. The Black Lives Matter crowd is saying they want justice. They say they're sick and tired of black men being killed by police officers. According to a Black Lives Matter website, they want, quote, safety, dignity, and justice, end quote. And then from a Facebook memorial set up for Keith, one says, no justice, no peace. They want justice, you see. Reverend B.J. Murphy of the Nation of Islam said, quote, our black men here and our black people are being gunned down in the street and we don't get no justice. So what I'm calling for and we're calling for is an economic boycott of the whole city of Charlotte. Since black lives do not matter for this city, then our black dollars shouldn't matter, end quote. And it goes on and on and on like this. When a black man is shot by police, a carefully orchestrated background has been established that is raised up, and facts, you know, facts, truth, disappears like a chameleon lost from view in the background. Truth is no longer something grounded in reality or in a reality defined by objective facts. Truth, like a chameleon these days, it gets lost in whatever backdrop you put behind it. This background, this backdrop has been carefully painted, inscribed into the minds and hearts of our black brothers and sisters, and many of them at least, over years and years of grievance. And of course, it's like I've said so many times, objective truth is what gives a lie shelf life. So let's take a look at the truth that gives shelf life to the lie of this Black Lives Matter business. But first, what do I mean when I say that the Black Lives Matter mantra is a lie. I mean that underlying the Black Lives Matter mantra is the assumption that anyone with sense would disagree with that proposition. And second, that singling out a certain group as having lives that matter naturally suggests and automatically sets it up so that other lives matter less or don't at all. All lives matter, including, by the way, the infant in the womb. Oh, and including the infant in the womb regardless of the race or the sex of the baby. But so listen, why doesn't the Black community rise up in protest against the hundreds of thousands of Black babies that are murdered in the womb every year at a rate that's way you know, we look at these proportionate arrests. What about the proportionate abortions? You know, Black babies are four times more likely to be murdered in the womb than white babies. Now, how about that for a Black Lives Matter issue? Who's killing these babies, by the way? Well, your white liberal masses are herding you like cattle following the agenda of one of Hillary's favorites, Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, whose goal was to eliminate the inferior races. And among them, she named the Blacks. How does Margaret Sanger become a hero among you liberals? How does that happen? She was an avowed racist and advocated the genocide of Black people in this country. Wake up. You say you want justice? Well, you can't get it because you've discarded objective truth in favor of chameleon truth. So, you know, we're looking at the background or the backdrop into which chameleon truth gets hidden or buried. Did slavery occur in America? Yeah. It was a wicked business that operated contrary to our fundamental principles and laws. All men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, among them the right to life. Nevertheless, until the Civil War, American laws countenanced slavery in certain states. During the Civil War, 620,000 lives were lost and died in a struggle over a range of issues, but the core issue was slavery. Make no mistake about that. I mean, whatever the interests of this or that individual or group, the overarching or core issue was to end this idea that man has a right to own another man. That war ended with the freeing of the slaves, and then there was a long period of discrimination, where Blacks could not drink from the same water fountain as whites, or where Blacks were forbidden to eat in the same restaurants as whites, and all sorts of nonsense, and much evil was perpetrated upon our Black brothers and sisters, and many injustices, and there was certainly a time when justice was denied, and this because truth, the truth about race relations, was perverted, and when finally the Bible truth about all men being created equal, and the equalizing power of the gospel, finally prevailed. It took hold of the conscience of this culture generally. Well, things began to change. We've come a long way since those days. No one with sense can deny that. Virtually no one attempts to justify slavery or discrimination today. Now, I get it. There's a backstory here that needs to be reckoned with. And if you look at truth as malleable, as relative, as having the character of the chameleon, it's not hard to understand how truth gets lost in that background. But here's the problem. The background used by Black Lives Matter is not the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Our colleges and our media have carefully cherry-picked our history to create a collage, if you will, of images constantly presented before the minds of our Black communities that are intended to provoke rage and anger, to gender malice. Add to this the breakdown of truth as objective, you know, as centered in a person, Christ Jesus, as revealed in a book, the Bible, as articulated and communicated by the Holy Ghost in the gospel, and you come up with this idea that truth is relative. It is chameleon-like. And then what happens is facts no longer matter. All that matters is the fabricated background image inscribed in the mind of so many that it has become their truth, so to speak. So facts get lost in the background. That is, I should say, chameleon truth gets lost in the background. Wicked liars in our universities have established a deceitful narrative and created a huge lie that is repeated over and over and over until finally people simply accept it as the backdrop. It becomes fixed as the background. Add to this their theory that truth is not objective, where each person has his or her own truth. Facts then become irrelevant, and truth, like a chameleon, disappears in the background. You know, relative truth is irrelevant, and in that environment, facts lose all force in argument, and when facts lose all force in argument, all that's left in argument is force. Think about it. In such a case, justice cannot enter. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:14-15, judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Why? For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And when God saw this condition, he wondered that there was no man to step up to restore truth. And he wondered that there was no one to come before his throne to intercede. So he, that is God himself, put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head, Isaiah 59:16-17. And he sent Christ, the embodiment of truth, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, who declared, thy word is truth. And he, that is our Lord Jesus, left with us the breastplate and the helmet. Did you know that? Yeah, he left that to us. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of truth, Ephesians 6:10-20. Now we must stand in the gap, intercede with God and man, and deploy the word of truth against these lies. And that's what the Brain Massage Show is all about. All right, my dear friends, you hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
Love him or hate him, the Brain Masseur is going to make you think. The Thought Provocateur is available on the web. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.
My friends, I appreciate so much those of you who call or who write. I did receive this from one of our regular listeners and an avid supporter of the Brain Massage Radio Show, and it touched my heart, and I hope it touches yours. So listen to this Lights On contact from one of our listeners.
Lights on, Pastor. I appreciate the Brain Massage Show, and I know it takes a tremendous amount of time and money to produce it. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to appeal to your patriotic listeners to help support the show. So listen up, patriots. You know, there really aren't very many people out there that are doing anything to fix the mess this country has gotten itself into. Pastor Scheidbach is hitting the nail on the head and has really zeroed in on the root cause of not just our nation's problems, but the whole world's. And that is the abandonment of God's principles in our governments, our churches, our schools, and our families. You won't hear politicians speaking the kind of truths that need to be told to affect the kind of change we need. And here is someone who's like a voice in the wilderness trying to get the message out. He needs to be supported, people. You might be saying, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, you can do something patriotic by helping the Brain Massage Show. You can help support the cure and not the problem. Do like I do and go to thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button. Donate a buck, maybe two, whatever you can. And then go tell a friend about the show. Send a link to everyone on your email list. Do it for your children, your grandchildren, your country. Do it for God. Then you can go to sleep tonight knowing that you did something to help. Well, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for your courage, and keep up the good fight. We're counting on you. Lights on.
Let me break in here real quick. I've got to make a short announcement. I'm thrilled that some of our Brain Massage listeners are already going online to register for our annual Lights On banquet. Now, we've been working on having a gun show at the Lighthouse in association with a Second Amendment Sunday, where I intend to show the biblical basis for the inalienable right of self-defense and Jesus' mandate that we arm ourselves, and we finally got to a place where we can move forward with that plan. So I'm announcing a gun show Lights On banquet scheduled for a weekend in June or July, probably in July, and more details will be given later, but here's why it's important to my Lights On banquet regulars. Listen, we want to make this next banquet the most amazing of all, and I want to combine it with our gun show and Second Amendment Sunday. So the plan is we'll open the grounds to the gun show either on Thursday afternoon or evening or Friday afternoon, and then Friday night we'll have our annual Lights On banquet. Amen. It's going to be awesome. And then we're going to continue the gun show through Saturday. And then on Sunday, we'll have Second Amendment Sunday. And the services will be built around the celebration of our Second Amendment rights and the roots of those rights in the Word of God. And then between the services, Sunday morning and Sunday evening, we'll continue with the gun show. Now, because I'm pushing the date of our Lights On banquet off to July, I need our supporters to please consider renewing your pledges in November, as we usually do. And let me tell you that I really do need your support, now more than ever. Now, the truth is, I don't know exactly how many we have that tune in each weekend here in Santa Maria, Orchid, however far this thing goes to San Luis, a little bit all the way up to down to Goleta. And I don't know the exact number. Some years ago, I was shown some Arbitron numbers, and I didn't really know what they meant, but I was told those numbers indicated our audience well above 10,000 listeners in our area. Now, that's really quite a while back, If that's true, and if every one of my listeners would send at least a dollar each month, or 12 bucks a year, you know, that's 25 cents per show, by the way. Well, we could cover our costs, expand our outreach. We could do a lot of things to help get the message out farther. But of course, not every listener is going to do that, because some are lights off listeners, for one thing, and so on. But anyway, and then there's this, you know, hey, the church advertises on this show, and it's basically a church ministry outreach. So, well, let the church pay for it. And you know what? I totally get that. But here's the truth of the matter. The church cannot sustain the show without gifts, without help, additional help from those outside the church that benefit from it. I mean, it's as simple as that. The church does carry a significant measure of the cost and would cover it all, but we can't. So I need your help. Pray about what part you believe God would have you to take in sustaining the Brain Massage Radio Show. Now, we have many friends, and we have many who have given in the past, and some who continue to give month after month. Thank God for you. That's what's got us as far as we are today. But we cannot continue unless we shore up some shortfall that we've had in the last year or so. Will you join them and me and partner with us in this good work? To do that, go to brainmassage.net. That's our new website. It used to be thebrainmassageshow.com, and you can still go there and process a gift. I want you to go to my new website and take a look at it. It's brainmassage.net, and then process a donation through our website, or send your check to Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedaravia Road, Santa Maria, California, 93455. And that address again is 1310 West Bedaravia Road, Santa Maria, California, 93455. And thank you.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The debates are coming. What will MSM do if Hillary goes into a coughing spasm? And what will the questions be focused on? Trump and Clinton meet with Egypt's President Assisi. Assisi. That name contributes much fodder for pun fun, unfortunately. Anyway, Trump and Clinton both praised the dictator's assistance with us in the war against terrorists. But Trump had nothing but praise for Assisi. I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name. And he failed to bring up any concerns about allegations of human rights abuse and repression of free speech. But according to the Washington Post, Clinton heroically expressed concerns about Assisi's record for abusing human rights and repression of free speech in diplo speak. By contrast with Mr. Trump, according to this article, Ms. Clinton paid tribute to U.S.-Egyptian cooperation on counterterrorism, emphasized the importance of respect for the rule of law and human rights to Egypt's future progress. According to her statement, that is from Washington Post, she also raised concerns about prosecution of Egyptian human rights organizations and activists. In other words, while Mr. Trump handed a pass to this deeply problematic U.S. ally, Ms. Clinton put him on notice that his abuses will not be ignored if she becomes president. Now, my eyebrows raised at this article. There aren't any quotes given here. You learn how to smell these things, you know. But anyway, I mean no direct quotation of statements made by Hillary to Sissy. It reads kind of like a WAPO editorial board that is quoting some press release or quoting some representative for Clinton's campaign who offered a statement to them. I can find no independent substantiation of any of the assertions made in this article, written, by the way, by the Washington Post editorial board, not any individual. It's interesting. I created a PDF version of the article, and I have it on file, just in case you can't find it when you go looking for it. Washington Post simply asserts that they are quoting from Clinton's statement. But then why does it read this anyway? I'm not going to go back over it. The point is, it just seemed bogus to me. If such a formal statement exists, where is it? I can't find it on Hillary's site, dedicated to be a collection of statements made by the candidate. So I really don't know what Hillary said to Mr. Assisi or what she said after the meeting with him. So whether or not she raised the issue of the American Ayai Hijazi of Virginia, who with her husband went to Egypt to start up orphanages or some kind of organization to help the children who are abandoned in the streets of Egypt, who was, and both of them, her and her husband, arrested over 2 years ago suspected of being complicit with American efforts to undermine the government of Egypt, and accused of sexually abusing the children in their care. But I understand this couple has been proven innocent of any charges of sexual abuse by forensic evidence gathered by the Egyptian government itself. And yet they've not been afforded the rights of criminals charged of these crimes or any crimes according to Egyptian law. According to their law, they must have a trial within at least 2 years. Wow, so much for a speedy trial. But this family has yet to be given a trial, and or this husband and wife. And so they are regarded as political prisoners. And according to this propaganda piece by WAPO, Washington Post, Trump ignored all this. But Clinton brought it up. And nevertheless, in Trump's statements following his meetings with Assisi, which are very easily accessible, by the way, we can find what he had to say. It is clear that he did not raise any questions about the imprisonment of Aya or her husband. And by the way, neither has Obama. Yeah, he hasn't brought out any concerns about this. So it's sort of mysterious, is it not? But you see, here is the thing. We know Aya Hijazi is a U.S. citizen who is being held prisoner in Egypt under Assisi's government, that she and her husband have been cleared of the charges of sexually assaulting the children, and that they have not received a trial as they should have received according to Egyptian law. And it's true, Trump said nothing about any of these things. So does this mean Trump did not know about the Aya case? Or does he know something about the case? Perhaps he knows what Obama knows about the case that causes Obama and his administration to look the other way about this matter. And it's odd because we know Obama doesn't like Assisi. And if he had something against him, he'd bring it out. I mean, he likes sissies, all right. You ever seen him ride a bike? Har, har. But he doesn't like a sissy. That's because a sissy or a sissy ruined his dream, that was Obama's dream, of making Egypt a Muslim Brotherhood state. You know, Morsi being the first duly elected president in Egyptian's history, a Muslim Brotherhood fella, who after his election immediately proceeded to force Sharia law onto the people, and he began to suspend the what would be the equivalent of our Congress there in Egypt. And in other ways, he acted like a total dictator. But you see, that was a dictator that Obama and Washington Post et al. Liked. So they ignored those abuses. But Assisi, well, now in that case, Washington Post et al. Are up in arms about his abuses of human rights and due process and so forth. But at the end of the day, Trump's willingness to overlook these clear examples of human rights abuses by Assisi because he admires what General Assisi did to wrest power out of the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood dictator is nevertheless troubling. Does Trump believe that destroying liberty and setting up a dictatorship is justified if it's done to wrest the government out of the hands of a dictator he does not like in order to give it to a dictator he does like? I don't know. Anyway, the debates are coming up September 26th at the Hofstra University. According to the Commission on Presidential Debates, quote, the debate will be divided into 6 time segments of approximately 15 minutes each on major topics to be selected by the moderator and announced at least 1 week before the debate. The moderator will open each segment with a question, after which the candidate will have 2 minutes to respond. Candidates will then have an opportunity to respond to each other, and then the moderator will use the balance of time now that's left in the segment for a deeper discussion of the topic, end quote. Now, the questions have been released, apparently, since it's 1 week in advance or within a few days. That is at least according to the rules. So I thought maybe we can get a hold of him, but we can't. I can't find them anywhere. NBC's Lester Holt is going to be the moderator of the first debate, and it is scheduled to coincide with the NFL League games. Ha! Something that troubles Trump. Some accuse him of raising concerns about the scheduling of the debates to coincide with the football games because it's just on his part an attempt to wiggle out of debating Clinton. You know, he's trying to get out of this. He's went to duck and cover. I think the last thing Trump would be concerned about is a public face-off with, you know, coughing, hacking, eye-twitching, collapsing, potentially collapsing, cackling Hillary hilarity show. I'll tell you, I had to laugh at that one. But I do cringe somewhat at the thought of this spectacle. I mean, Hillary is showing evidence of an impending meltdown. Should Trump, you know, race to his sister if she begins to collapse on stage? I wonder if that's part of his debate preparation. What should he do? Should he roll his eyes and point at her shrugging in that inimitable style of his, with a face screwed up in a sarcastic scorn while she struggles to maintain her composure, choking down a coughing fit and starts almost involuntarily throwing her head back in that weird way she does, her eyes darting about frantically, searching for a thought, perhaps, or or cackling. What? Or, you know, she'd show some class and offer some water, maybe, you know, or ask someone, please assist her, or offer to assist her himself and express sadness that his dear friend of so many years before is suffering a nervous breakdown on national television. Oh, man. Did they schedule the debate to coincide with a football game in order to keep as many of Trump's supporters busy with something else? Or as many Americans busy with something else? You know, something else really important, like moving a pigskin down the field across the end zone. I mean, think it through. The NFL crowd. I mean, the fans. How many are Hillary supporters versus Trump supporters? I don't know. NFL is pretty sensitive to the politically correct crowds. Anyway, from what I've seen of Hillary, it wouldn't surprise me if she comes apart at the seams in this first debate. I mean, what are they going to do for her? If they medicate her, then she's going to stand there smiling at the camera like a deer caught in the headlights of Trump's oncoming train. This first debate could be a magnificent train wreck. I don't think anyone expects Hillary to do well in a debate with Trump. Unless Trump goes off the rails himself. And with Trump, that's always a very real possibility. I'll tell you what, this is probably going to be the most interesting television that we've seen in years. Send in the clowns. Remember that one? Written by Stephen Sondheim. Covered by several. One of my favorites for this one was Judy Collins. I mean, this whole campaign is like, send in the clowns. Yeah, it's over. The jig's up. Send in the clowns. And of course, we think of rodeo clowns sent in to rescue a thrown rider, or circus clowns sent in to entertain the crowd, especially when things aren't going well. According to the writer, Sondheim explained that the expression is taken from theater jargon, which probably spins off these other things. But in theater, when things aren't going well, the rule is send in the clowns, or that is, send in the jokesters. Get the guys up there doing the one-liners and all that. And the idea is that the two parties referenced in the song are themselves the joke, the jokesters, the fools of the farce. Isn't it rich? Aren't we a pair? Me here at last on the ground and you in midair. Send in the clowns. Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? One who keeps tearing around and one who can't move. But where are the clowns? Send in the clowns. Just when I stopped opening doors, finally finding one that I wanted was yours, making my entrance again with my usual flair. Sure of my lines. Nobody's there. Don't you love a farce? My fault, I fear. I thought you'd want what I want. Sorry, my dear. But where are the clowns? Send in the clowns. Don't bother. They're here. So the deep massage now, to really benefit, you'll have to take that lyric, watch the debate, and see which one's which. I honestly don't know what's going to happen, but contemplating the possibilities does raise all sorts of fascinating possibilities. A Trumper tantrum, perhaps? A Hillary hilarity? A collapsing Hillary? And then Trump, like, you know, mocking her collapsing sarcastically like he did that one time? And like, this you want for president, you know? Now, of course, that's got to be a caricature. I get it, but... And surely that won't happen. But with these two, who knows? No need to send in the clowns. They're here. I have lit the lamps at the Church Belfry Arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. You call 1-888-770-8000, that's 1-888-770-8000, and say lights on if you agree with what I'm saying, lights off if you disagree. And I appreciate response and feedback from my audience, whether it's you agree or not. The number is 1-888-770-8000. And you leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. If you're in a hurry when you call, you can give me a lights on or a lights off and hang up. But if you will, I appreciate a message. You can go to our website. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. Thebrainmassageshow.com. And there's a place there where you can send me an email. And by the way, there's also a place there where you can send us a donation. And we need all the help we can get. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.